Thanks for tuning in to Good Vibrations with Kristen. Are you ready to be inspired?
Do you want to have a greater connection to the earth, each other, and ultimately yourself?
So then join in the conversation with me, Kristen Ace, and
me, Green Diva Meg,
and our fascinating guests to share the light, the laughter, and the illumination of good vibrations. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Good Vibrations with Kristen.
Hey, Kristen.
Hey, Green Diva Meg. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you doing?
God, I'm amazing today.
I know that I have to take a picture of you because you've got this beautiful velvety green thing going on today.
Yeah.
And everybody has to see that.
I love this shirt. It's like 15 years old.
Well, it's done well.
I know. I'm lucky.
Really?
We have an amazing guest today. Her name is Loanne Mayer. She is an author, a teacher, a Reiki master. She wrote the book Celestial Conversations, Healing Relationships After Death. Welcome, Loanne.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
I am so thrilled to be here.
Oh, we're so excited to have you in the studio. Having people in the studio is, it's really fun. Mm-hmm. The energy spirals up so much more powerfully. Mm-hmm. So,
and we were talking before about the difference of phone calling, and we love it when people call us and talk, but it's so much different when someone is in the studio mm-hmm. and the energy. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when we have someone like Loanne, it's really fun to be able to take a moment. We even ohmed. We ohmed together.
Yeah, we did. We didn't ohm you guys before we started. And we had what's called overtones. And those are the tones that happen on top of a vibration, which is actually musical within itself. And it was really awesome. So next time we do that, we should do that on the air so all our listeners can get that vibration. That's really fun.
That's true, yeah. Why not?
So we asked Loanne here today to talk about shifting our perspective because the book that she wrote is really about a shift in perspective. And so I think it's really important for people to start claiming who they are, understanding their feelings, stop blaming, and then be present in their world and recreate a world that they desire. And I think that that happens when you shift your perspective.
I'm tempted to say amen.
Absolutely.
Well, your book is about, and I think this is a really important topic, how you healed your relationship with your mother after she went to the spirit world.
Yes.
So, just talk to our listeners about that a little bit.
Well, the book itself came from journaling that I did for myself. It was not an intended book ever. In fact, I fought it tooth and nails.
Those are the things that always turn out to be the best, by the way.
Yeah.
The things you go, I'm not doing it, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I could count how many times I said that. But I felt after my mother died very, very sad because I'm a healer. Mm-hmm. I've been working in the healing world for 25 years, and I did really good work. But I could never reach my mother. Mm. And I was her only daughter. And I tried everything I knew, but we never seemed to connect in life. And so when she was getting towards the end of her life, I tried even harder. I was with her when she died, which was a wonderful gift to me. And for those of you who have never been with someone who died and saw them see the light and be gloriously in joy. This was a particularly wonderful gift for me because I hadn't seen my mother's smile in years and years and years. So the feeling of knowing that she saw something, that she was going to something, and that I witnessed that is a gift that I treasure to this day. It's very, very special. But it made it more bittersweet because all I thought of was, why couldn't we have done that when you were alive? You know, mm-hmm. there's so many things.
Right.
So basically what happened is I'm a hospice volunteer, among other things, and I know that sometimes there is journaling done within hospice. So I met a hospice friend, and he said to me, why don't you journal? Get it out of your head onto paper. I'm also a metaphysical junkie, if you will. I've read every book that's out there.
Well, Megan and I are junkies as well
that
same world. I mean,
spirit junkies.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, when you start your journeying, where else do you go but to books?
Exactly.
To find out, is there anybody else out there?
Exactly. And I knew that many people, including people from the Catholic religion, of which I am,
right,
have had the experience of being connected to the other side. And I thought, you know, maybe I'll give that a shot. So I did automatically a prayer that I love. It was a unity prayer. And I did meditation. I've been a meditator for 30 years.
Mm. Does everyone hear that?
Yeah.
That's our message. Yeah, or one of our bigger messages.
It's like a mantra.
Yeah,
it really comes into every show.
Yep.
Does it really?
It really does. It really does.
It really is a help to anyone. You know?
It quiets the ego mind and allows divinity to enter.
It does. Even when you are in a state of stress, as I was.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I took a pen to paper and I wrote in this journal a letter to my mother, asking if there was some way that she could help me understand, partly because I was holding on to so much stuff about us. I was angry with her. I was resentful because we couldn't make this connection. I was feeling so stressed and exhausted and guilty and tired, all those things that people sometimes feel. And I really believed, I taught Louise Hay work for 12 years, so I did know it was my stuff that I was carrying.
That's a leap for a lot of people. I'm going to say that's exactly what I was thinking, Megan, because a lot of times people are like, it's their fault. I have nothing to do with this. When, you know, it really is our perspective that.
And I think it's not always an easy process to understand and become responsible for. I mean, I think there are a lot of people that walk around out there that just can't get past.
Or they don't understand how much drinking poison affects them.
Well, that's true.
When you're angry at someone, it's like drinking poison for yourself. I knew better. I just didn't know what to do.
Right.
So I started this letter. I put it all out there. You know, if there was any way that she could help me understand, I would be able to live my life lighter, more complete, and more fully. And then just as I finished the letter, the phone rang. And I thought, oh, well, we'll see, you know. So the next day, I took the phone off the hook, and I said to the universe, I really want to make this connection. And as I wrote the date and my letter itself after the prayer and meditation, I wrote, Dear Loanne.
Uh-huh.
Now, the interesting thing about that was that it was the word Loanne, my mother wrote my name, L-O-A-N-N-E, for my whole life. I wrote L-O-A-N-N-E. So the minute I wrote Loanne, I knew it was her.
Right.
And it was just, I could feel the energy. I could feel this feeling of, oh my goodness, she's interested in helping. And so she wrote letters to me. I wrote letters to her for 5 months. I never told anyone. I could just feel myself getting lighter and lighter and lighter. For instance, she's told me that she had been on 28 medications. The minute I knew that, I thought, well, no wonder she was, you know. So everything she shared with me was perfect for me, and I was so happy to have this emailing type thing going back and forth. And then I went to England for a writer's course, and while I was there, our daughter died suddenly. And in that moment in time, I felt like it was an out-of-body experience. But because of situations that were around us, I couldn't find out what happened to her. I didn't know why she died, even though it was technically suicide. We wondered why that would happen. And so I started writing to my mother again. And my mother was the one that helped me understand the other side of the veil from a perspective that I never in my life would have thought of. Mm. And you talk about enlarging your perspective or changing your perspective. Mm-hmm. My whole life has been I'm a spiritual person, a religious person almost, but it's always concentrated on being here in this time. I have 6 kids, you know, from morning till night. How can I do better or be better? Never thought about afterlife. Mm-hmm. Never.
Well, the thing about it is that when you are present in your life, you really don't want to be thinking about what's gone before or after me. You just really do want to stay centered in your day. But it's the thing that I loved about the conversations that you and your mom had was her saying to you, you need to deal with your own anger and your own resentments and your own fear, because that's what's closing you into this box.
Exactly.
And while she could give you, these are the things that were happening with me, and particularly as children, we don't know.
No.
What's happening with our parents as people? We don't know.
Oh, as children, we're little self-centered beings, and that's right. Kind of by design.
Right.
And so we don't have that perspective.
Well, also parents don't, at least
right.
My parents didn't for a long time share with right. Like, oh, this is what's going on right now. I actually share a lot with my children, so they have a clear understanding of the emotional atmosphere within which they're living, because right. I think that's important, but that's because I didn't grow up with that. Right. So,
and I think also it depends on the personality of the person. Mm-hmm. My mother's case, she explained to me one of her challenges to conversation with me was that she was a divorcee. She had lived alone. She was an army wife. She had lived alone. So a lot of her lifetime was not having the conversation with someone, waiting for her husband to come home from war or being alone as a divorcee. She didn't have the same kind of opportunities that I have with my husband of 52 years. So
right.
We talk about things. So right. I understood as she explained it.
Mm-hmm.
And as she explained it, I felt more that I could ask anything. Mm-hmm. So when Cindy passed, in my shock, I knew that I had to get the information from my mother about her, my daughter.
Right.
And was she okay? I was in Compassionate Friends for 7 years, and that is the classic question of a parent who's lost a child. Is she okay?
Is she okay? Yeah.
And so to have my mother be able to explain where she was and who was with her and how it was helping her to process this transition
mm-hmm.
was, again, it led me to this other side of the veil, which is like, what? Are you kidding me? And the mm-hmm. love that she talks about. And later on when I did the same thing with Cindy, the love they talk about is something that is to this day, I've been doing this 9 years, I still can't wrap my head around the kind of love that these two people, souls, are sharing with me exists beyond the veil.
Well, and it also exists actually in our world. It's just accessing that love. But you, in order to do that, you have to get quiet in your mind and you have to release, you have to transmute all of that pain and anger. You just have to, because you can't reach out to something that you can't even have in your own self.
I sort of think of pain and anger and resentment and all of that stuff, the baggage that we carry around.
Mm-hmm.
They're like corks.
Yes.
You know, nothing's going in and nothing's going out.
That's
until
right.
You can remove them.
Right.
And it is an enormous blessing to be able to work through it. And it's sort of like when I used to do past life regression work.
Mm-hmm.
People would say like, oh, I don't know if I believe this.
well, okay.
You and I'd be like, okay. I said, you don't really have to believe it. It may be just completely fabricated in your own mind, but just do it and then we'll talk about it.
Right.
And then, you know, they would have like this amazing, they'd be weeping and crying mm-hmm. and they'd have this big healing with a member of their family from a past life.
Right.
Thing. And then they'd be like, well, gosh, I don't know if that was real. And I'd say, well, does it really matter?
No.
If the healing is what comes up,
that's right.
You can choose to believe that you actually were alive in the 17th century with this person, or that your mind figured out a way to heal.
That's
doesn't
right.
matter.
That's right. And as long as their perspective shifts about the entire relationship, then they're not in blame and anger, and then they're open to receiving.
Exactly. That's...
And it's a process. You know,
yes.
Most of us, when we're in grieving, we don't realize, we think of it as an event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as I was doing the writing and as I worked with my grief counselor and as I did the church thing, all these different things, I realized it's a process. And
right.
The process of healing your grief requires a lot of tools.
Mm-hmm.
The book that I eventually wrote is really a good screwdriver in the toolbox.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought about this as soon as I started reading it. I was like, ooh, what a fabulous tool for people mm-hmm. to enable them to find peace.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to offer just a tiny bit of perspective because I met Loanne just after her daughter had died.
Oh.
We were both brought together in this very small Course in Miracles group, which I've mentioned, which
yeah.
is an unusual, amazing group of people. Talk about past life. Like, we definitely all
had past lives
yeah, because
together.
It was but I got to know Loanne before this book ever, you know, I sort of saw her healing because we met weekly and there was just
the progression,
progression of how she was healing, which by the way was unbelievably inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
It was honest. It was real.
Mm-hmm.
And she shared very, very candidly with us all that was happening. And then when she came to the point of this book, I remember you did a workshop and you invite in Julie, our Julie Genovese, our Weenie Greenie, as she likes to call
herself.
Right.
Yeah.
She was in that workshop, one of the early workshops that she did to sort of test this out. And I have done this kind of work. So I was a little bit like, well, I'm not going to really learn much because I've done this. I mean, I've written with my parents and I've done this. And I just have to tell you, there's always more people.
There's always layers, you know, and that's even, I didn't know about this kind of work when my father passed away. And I was lucky enough to shift my perspective about him before he died. But he actually helped me along the way. So at the very end, he apologized for all of the things that had transpired between the two of us for our entire lives. And my response to him, because of all the work that I did, was, Dad, if it was supposed to be different, it would have been. Mm. And, you know, I love you.
Right. And that's the most important part of the healing is when you get to that love, that whether you got it before they died or after they died. And in many cases, there are so many people in the workshops that I have worked with over the years in Texas and New Jersey and different places, is that there's sometimes it's just a moment in time that the person is gone, whether it's a soldier or a car accident or whatever, and they wish they could have go back, but they feel somehow limited to doing that, and that's where I was. You know, now I will never have a chance to find out or have this opportunity.
Right.
So to know, and through the workshops I have learned, and they were actually started because I didn't know if anybody else could do this. I never mentioned it to anyone. You know,
right.
It was like my journey, except for very close friends like Megan and the Miracle, Course in Miracle people. But I found that many people find now that they are more willing, once the person is gone, to have the conversation, but they think they can't have it. And one of the best things about this is to give them the hope that it's never done. Love never dies.
That's right.
Never.
And that's the most important thing to remember. Yeah. And particularly when a human has then moved over to the spirit world, there isn't all of the ego and the fear and the pain and the everyday life
things.
Talk
about expanded perception.
That's right. All of a sudden, they're coming from a place of spirit, of divinity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's much easier to connect with that than it is our human stuff.
Definitely. You know. And I think that they especially when you're doing it on your own or whether you're in a group or not, there is no commitment to getting an A.
Right.
You can't
right.
fail. And for me,
for those of us who must be perfect.
Yes, right? Exactly. And it also gives you all kinds of time. When I do the workshops, I encourage people to date them. So that, and for me, I have 8 books now, 4 for Cindy and 4 for my mother. And I can see where I was 9 years ago. And now where I have come to understand that there is so much more that I never in my wildest dreams thought was there. But now that I know, I want to make every day so juicy. I want it to count. I mean, I know that I won't have another day like today. So I want to fill it with all kinds of love. And I think partly because of what Cindy and my mother are saying, but that love is the healing force. And you only take love with you when you go to the other side. Everything else is not important.
Right. That's right.
So many folks will maybe seek out a psychic or medium to connect with a deceased family member. And that's lovely and helpful.
It is. And it is.
But there's a really deep layer of... It's like surpasses any kind of doubt or lack of belief you might have because it just goes straight in.
Right.
And because I, you know, I was like, oh, I'm experienced here. This is going to be kind of fun and fundamental. I want to just underscore that not only can you learn more no matter what it is, but Luann has a special magical energy with her. In particular, and it comes through in her book, but in her workshops, it's, you know, it's just this extra, I don't know how to put it.
Oh, thank you, Megan. That's
sort of
so
like
nice.
Angelic energy or something that comes in, and I don't know. So I'm just...
Well, it creates a safety because grief, as we were talking earlier, grief is a very difficult subject for Americans particularly. We want it over by Thursday.
Yeah. Well,
right.
Yeah.
And schedule it.
And I say to anybody I know who is in the process of grieving, it is its own animal.
Yeah.
It comes in waves. It comes in times that you won't expect it. You'll be fine on one day that you think you wouldn't be, and then in a minute you are sobbing. Mm-hmm. And so it really is a longer process.
It's a process. Yep. And I think that was one of the big aha moments for me. It's a process.
Right.
It's not an event. And a lot of the work world, the corporate world, you know, they want you to get, aren't you over it yet? Come on.
Well,
get back
that's
to
our
work.
World in general. I mean, yes. We all are on time clocks and we've got to get here. We've got to do this. And the kids have to go over here. And then they've got this and that. And then now it's time for bed.
Right.
So, yeah.
And when you have a group and a group who's come for this, the purpose of healing their grief, then there's a direct difference in the energy. Like right. when you pray or when you mm-hmm. meditate together, it's just so much more powerful. And for me, it has also shown me that things that I didn't know when the book was written are coming up in the workshops. Mm-hmm. People who have asked me lately, does this work with someone who's alive? I said, I don't know. Try it. Huh. Let's see what happens.
Right.
And it does. Mm. Or some people.
I wonder, does it open up communication energetically that wasn't there before? So if you're doing the writing with someone who's alive, but then do all of a sudden passageways get opened that weren't there before?
See, I'm sure you can connect with their higher self.
Right. Oh, I know that. Yeah. But
perhaps it does back channel.
Right. That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah. Well, from the people that tried it, as I say, this was not something I learned, but in Texas, I remember exactly the person who said, I don't have any issues with anybody who's passed, but I've got a big issue with a friend of mine. And so when she started to use the process, we call it transpersonal journaling. I said to her, would you share? Did it help you? And she not only shared that day, but since we go back to Texas every winter, I've seen her every winter for the past 5 winters. And she said, it's just been extraordinary.
And how about their friendship? Has it?
It's been renewed at a distance. Now, they were geographically separated, but they were also emotionally separated. So I now say to people, you know, give that a shot if that's something that's most important to you. Some people get words, I get words. Mm-hmm. Some people get pictures, and sometimes those pictures are worth 1,000 words.
Oh, sure.
So, but what I've seen is that from my mother and my daughter is that if you need help from the other side, the love brings them to you.
Well, and also my understanding, at least from what I've experienced is, you know, the spirit world cannot just step in. We do have free will and we must ask for help and guidance. We must ask.
Right.
Because they're not allowed to just dally, you know, in our lives because we have our own souls. But it's like me dallying in your life and saying, well, I'm going to do this for Loanne because she needs it. And that was an experience I had when I was a new healer. I don't know if you two ever experienced this, but I was working on somebody and I thought, oh, I'll just remove that because that is a major problem for her. And I am serious. Like this huge, powerful voice came in and said, you remove nothing. We decide. You do not decide what is right and wrong for her. And I was like, okay. I got it. Because I don't know what's right and wrong for her. And she may need that little thing to get her through. Who knows?
Right.
But so I just want to be clear with everybody out there. Mm-hmm. You need to ask for guidance. You need to get quiet and ask for
direction.
Well,
that's one of the things about the transpersonal journaling that I loved is that I was deliberately asking mm-hmm. for advice and
right.
guidance. And what was really fun for me is that my mother, who was a daily communicant Roman Catholic, you know, Jersey City Irish Catholic, if that gives you a big picture of very, very, very...
I didn't know she was Jersey City. That's where my father was.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Well, then maybe you understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
But basically, she would never use words that I sometimes wrote down. Like, for instance, the word karma. In my mother's life, if she said the word karma, she goes straight to confession right then and there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but she's a spirit, though, now.
But now she's using these words. And one of the things she said is that it's good karma for the souls on the other side mm-hmm. to help the souls here mm-hmm. that are living on the planet.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah, because then you're releasing karmic debt. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I know my dad helps me all the time. So, and he's always zooming in, whether as a hawk or some golf thing is happening in my life. You know, mm-hmm. I know that's him. And I do ask him to show up, too. He doesn't just show up only on his own. But mm-hmm. I do know that we've healed that karmic rift.
And that's what I feel now, too. Mm-hmm. And I'm still learning from Cindy some of the things that I'm continually working with as far as my day-to-day activities. But the whole concept of healing grief is a huge subject matter, as Megan and I were saying. Grief is epidemic right now. There are so many people around the world who are grieving, and there is not enough conversation for those who feel safe enough to enter in.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that happens with the talks and the workshops and the opportunities that I have is to give people the opportunity to say, I'm grieving,
right.
I hurt,
right.
I need help. And we need to do more of that, I think, as a community around mm-hmm. the world, because there is so much
It's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary for our society to say, I'm grieving, because people go, oh, I want you to feel better right now.
Right, right.
Oh,
and
yeah.
they don't know how to help you. So
right,
sometimes
no,
that
you
just
don't.
Closes down the system.
Yeah, I did not know how to help my mother when she was grieving. I just listened a lot. I did tell her, you know, my perspective on why my dad went first. And ultimately, I was guided from him to tell her those things. Mm-hmm. And it helped her, but she needed to go through it on her own. I mean, she really needed to go
yeah.
through it. There was none of us who could do it for her.
No.
Right,
no.
right.
You know, and I want to say that I think that there are types of grief that are just as deep, the types of losses that are not so overt, that may not be connected to someone who has died. But I think you can experience tremendous grief from the loss of a dream. From the
absolutely.
Loss of your health.
Absolutely.
The loss of a job.
The loss of
yeah.
a job, your career.
What you think is your identity, what you think is who you are.
I mean, I know as a recovering alcoholic woman, which I can say,
mm-hmm.
Thankfully, that there was a huge amount of grief when I realized, you know, years into it, how much kind of my life that was lost because I was unconscious and,
right.
you know, whatever. And I think that we underestimate. Now, it doesn't necessarily relate to celestial conversations necessarily because
but
it's
it
hard
to.
But
it does relate to shifting your perspective.
Well, and grief, you mm-hmm. know, and I just think there are wells of grief that people do not talk about because
that's right.
it would be easier if it was connected to a loved one.
Right.
Because at least you could identify.
Right.
I remember when my second husband and I split up, I felt like someone had died. And I was like, you know, it would be a lot easier if he had died because then I could really explain this depth of, but what
right,
I was going through was really the loss of a dream.
And, that's right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think you find that people in general right now are a little bit more compassionate about things like transpersonal journaling.
Mm-hmm.
The way the name came from was from a friend of mine who works at Drew University, and he is a psychology professor whose specialty is transpersonal psychology.
Okay.
So even in the world of education, it's becoming okay to talk about it.
Yeah, there definitely we have seen a higher consciousness in and around this type of healing. Communication on the other side, opening to divinity, all the stuff that we talk about on GBK is now almost becoming, thank goodness, commonplace.
Yes.
Which is important
yes.
because then it opens up a whole avenue for people to find a way to shift and transmute and heal and then live a much fuller, robust, loving life.
And to set an example for others that it's
that's
possible.
Right. That's right. That's yeah. exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so, too.
Well, I think with that, we need to wrap up, sadly,
yeah.
even
yeah.
though this is really fascinating and it's very generous in its theory. It's very generous to help people learn how to shift and heal.
And my book, Celestial Conversations, is probably one of maybe 100 books. On my website, I think I have 27 books that I personally have read.
Okay.
There's so much out there now. There's no reason for anyone to feel alone. That this is one way. There's 100 other ways out there. But
right.
grief can be healed. There is hope.
Right.
Hope. There's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Loanne.
Yeah. You're thank welcome. You, Loanne. Thank you for coming. We appreciate your energy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, folks, well, we got to wrap it up, so I'm going to say goodbye.
And I'm going to tell you that I love you.
We hope that you found this episode of GVK inspiring.
And to raise your vibration even higher, visit my website at goodvibrationswithkristen.com.
And don't forget to like Good Vibrations with Kristen on Facebook.
What inspires you?
Write us, let us know, so we can share your ideas on the show.
And meanwhile, keep listening, keep connecting, and know that you are divinely guided.